man. And we are opening up the owner's manual. We are opening up the book of blessing. We are opening up our Bibles to the book of Luke. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we have been studying the life of Jesus. And for about 10 chapters, he has been moving towards Jerusalem. Since chapter 9, he said in chapter 9, I'm setting my face towards Jerusalem. He's on a mission. He's going there. And we're going to remember that this next week, Holy Week. He's going to Jerusalem so that he would absorb, take away the sins of the world, and give and pay for forgiveness of all of us that need forgiveness. Is there anybody in the house that needs forgiveness? Or yes, that's all of us. Today, if you didn't need any today, you're going to need it tomorrow. It's regular. Well, because it's a daily prayer. It's in the Lord's Prayer, the daily prayer. Forgive us is in the Lord's Prayer. He's going to pay for that forgiveness so that we can freely ask for it. And on his way, very interesting, we're coming in the last few verses of chapter 18. He has to pass through the city of Jericho. Jericho is about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. And really, time is of the essence because Jesus has to give his life on Passover because he is the sacrificial lamb of Passover. He can't miss it by a few days. He is on time. He's on schedule. He is aiming towards Jerusalem, and he has to be there by Passover, fixed date. But interesting, on his way to a fixed date, we're like in the red zone. If you're like a football player, you're either in the red zone. We're so close to Passover. It's less than 2 weeks. He's got to make the journey. Interesting that as he comes into Jericho, there's a blind man, and he's calling out Bartimaeus. We studied him last week, and Bartimaeus is, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm blind. And the people around him are saying, just be quiet, man. You're wrecking the parade. And Jesus stops. What? Jesus stopped. Now he's on his way to Jerusalem. To do what? Pay for the sins of the world. But what does he do with Bartimaeus? He stops. See, so many times we are on our way to do the work of God, and we can miss the work of God. We're going to pick it up now in the beginning, because as he passes through Jericho, you know what he's going to do again? He's going to, right answer, if you're thinking stop, that is the right answer. I don't know if I should say it or not. Yes, stop! He's going to stop for a guy named Zacchaeus. Now, Bartimaeus was not the most... Jericho was a city of priests. Lots of religious people. In fact, do you remember when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan? The priest and the priest helper were headed towards the city of... Anyone? Anyone? Jericho? Because that's where they hung out. So there are all these priests, all these Pharisees, but Jesus doesn't stop for them. He stops for the blind guy. He stops for not only the tax collector... He stops for the chief tax collector. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and I've reminded you, the tax collectors then and now hated. Just kidding, because we actually have people from the IRS that work here, so praise God. We love you. We do. We love you. We love you. Please don't audit us. We love you. We love you. We love you so much. Well, you know, they worked for the Romans. First of all, the Jews didn't like that because they were under occupation. The tax collectors didn't work for the Jewish government. They worked for the Romans. And the Romans said, okay, you tax this section and you get $100. No, you guys are worth more than $100. Get $2,000 out of this section. I know you got that in you. Come on. If we added it up. Yeah. Okay, $2,000 out of this section. So the tax collector would come along and they could really tax you however they wanted. They could tax you double. So they would take away $4,000, they would send on to Rome $2,000, and they would pocket $2,000. They became immensely wealthy, and because Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, you know how these work, the guy up line gets a little bit of everybody's action, just like the mafia. This was like the mafia in the new, that he got a little bit of everybody's action. Because he appointed tax collectors and he gave them the power, and he was the chief tax collector, so he was so wealthy, and he happened to live in Jericho, and Jesus was going through Jericho, and here is his story. We have no Mama D tonight. Moment of silence for Mama D, who is not here. She's probably overwhelmed in Tiny Town, so God bless her. I will miss her. It means I have to read myself. It's always a challenge. Then Jesus entered and passed through. This was his intention. Passed through Jericho. Jericho was called the city of palms because Jesus loves to hang out in areas where there are palms. He's not crazy about snow. Maybe you don't know that about Jesus, but there is no snow in heaven. If you enjoy it here. No snow in heaven. We know that's true, right? Garden of Eden, tropical garden. No snow in the Garden of Eden. You know how I know that? No clothes, no snow. That's just true right there, okay? Okay. So as he passes through the city of Jericho, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was not only the tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, hated by his people. He was a man of small stature. Let's keep reading. And this Zacchaeus he would be seeking Jesus because what happened recently? End of chapter 18, last miracle of chapter 18 was the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Everybody knew blind Bartimaeus. You couldn't get into the city without going by Bart. And Bart had hit everybody up for money in the whole city. So everybody knew him. He'd been there for years begging. Great place because Jericho was on the way to the holy city, Jerusalem. Good place for him to set up business. And now Bartimaeus is walking through the city and he can see. And people are going, hey, Bart, how many fingers? He's really healed. So Zacchaeus probably hears that story and goes, man, I got to meet this guy. But he's pushed to the back of the crowd because he's a man of small stature, not just small physical stature. He was small in social stature. He was hated. They weren't letting him be. He didn't have the keys to the city. He wasn't greeting any dignitaries. He was pushed to the back. And have you ever been in a parade or been in a crowd of people when you couldn't see nothing? Some of my smaller brothers and sisters would know what that's like. When you're 6'2", you're a little bit of advantage. When you're 6'2", you can see a little bit. But when you are one of God's smaller creatures, like Bart, like Zacchaeus, you can't see. So the crowd is pressing around him. He wants to see Jesus, but he can't see Jesus because of the crowd. He was short of stature, little in stature, not just physically, socially, pushed to the back. But he's not going to be denied. He's a thinker. He's a planner. And so he runs ahead. He knows the route because Jesus is going through Jericho. And there's an exit road. There's a gate coming in, a gate going out. He positions himself where he knows Jesus is going to have to come by. If he's going through Jericho, he's going to come by this sycamore tree. He runs ahead. He climbs up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus as he passes by. And then Jesus, now why? This is unusual because when you're walking along with your friends and you're talking with your friends, you generally are looking at, like, so if we're walking together, hey, we're talking. We don't very often, while we're walking and talking through any area, do this. That's an almost unnatural. Like, especially if you're walking through and people from the city are talking to you and you're talking to them and they're asking for your autograph. They're probably saying, Jesus, like touch my child on the way by. Jesus, come to my house. I'm sure some of the priests said, stop by, Jesus. You got any extra time while you're in town? Can you stop by? No, I'm too busy. Because he already told them, remember, I think it's verse 33 in chapter 18, somewhere around there, where he said, I'm going to Jerusalem to die and to rise from the dead. I'm on a time frame. Come to my, no, sorry, I don't have any time. Sorry, I don't have any time. He comes to the bottom of the tree, and not naturally, but supernaturally, because Jesus was listening, like all of us should listen, to this still, small voice of the Holy Spirit who's trying to tell us stuff every single day. He's trying to say, that person over there, they need you. We had Pastor Holly give a story not too long ago. She was just walking through the auditorium before service. It was somebody sitting down. She'd never seen the person before. She walked, and just that still small voice, you should go talk to that person. And it was a life transformational conversation. And she said, I'm so glad I didn't miss that. Well, I'm so glad Jesus didn't miss this one, or we wouldn't have this story. And then what would I be talking about? Something else. I'm sure I'd find something else to talk about. But he stops. He looks up into the tree. And he also, like, he must have been downloaded by the Holy Spirit, Zacchaeus' name. Because he calls him, like, Zacchaeus is hiding up in the tree. He's a small guy. He's up there. Jesus stops, and he calls him by name, and Zacchaeus, come down here, because I'm not stopping at any of these priests' house. I'm not stopping at any of the Pharisees' house. But you and me, we got a life-changing appointment. You come down, because I'm going to your house. Now, that blew Zac away. The only people that came to Zac's house were other tax collectors. You didn't have a wide social setting. Like the mayor didn't stop by your place. They didn't, nobody stopped by. All Zac's friends would be other tax collectors. Remember when Matthew, who was a tax collector, maybe Zac heard about Matt. Maybe he heard, Jesus has a disciple who used to be a tax collector. Remember when Matthew got saved, when he became a follower of Jesus? He threw a party and all of his other tax collector friends came. Remember that one? And the Pharisees looked down their nose and said, he's hanging out with those tax collectors. Jesus said, exactly, that's why I'm here. So Zac probably had heard about Matt. He said, man, if this guy is open to tax collectors, I'm one. Maybe, possibly, he has something for me. He stops at the bottom of the tree. He says, Zac, come on down. I'm going to your house, which blew Zac away because he wasn't used to that. I must stay at your house. Now, compare that to verse 1 of the chapter. I've got to get through Jericho. Just get this. I got to get through Jericho because I'm going to Jerusalem. Oh, but there's been an interruption. Now I must stay at your house. We just have to be sensitive in our days. If you have an agenda, if you have a list of things to do, which I do, we just have to be ready for the divine interruptions that God may bring along our path. That inner voice of the Holy Spirit that says, go down this road. Happened to me this morning. I was going for breakfast with our team at a new place they wanted to take me. I like to go to places I know. But they're experimental. They want to go, like, let's go to this place. Took a long time to get served there. I like the old place. So you can take umpteen routes. You can't, like, to go downtown from my house, you can take umpteen routes. And this time of year, you got to pray about them. Yeah, seriously, everywhere you go, you should pray, Lord, what roads? What road should I go? I literally prayed. I don't do this all the time, and I'm not super special. I said, Lord, just direct me because I got to get down there in time. So I got on a road I'm not usually on. I look over. There is one of my lost sheep. You know what that is? One of my lost sheep. Used to be serving Jesus, used to be here, used to be real, look, in touch with Jesus. Now I kind of drifted off, and there he is in his truck right there. So I'm blowing on my horn. Wind your window down. Wind your window down. God told me to come down this street so I could invite you to come for Easter. Yeah. So everyone tomorrow, do that to somebody. Somebody somewhere in town, wind you on your window, yell at them. Well, I'm at the gospel. I got to stay at your house. Verse 6. So Zach made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Let me tell you this. Whenever you let Jesus come to your house, it's a joyful occasion. Every time you let him come in, every time you come into a service and you open your heart to Jesus, even today, if you open your heart to Jesus, it is a joyful experience because your joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Has anybody heard that recently? It's best message ever. Someone just said it right there. There's a testimony on the second row right there. Best message ever. If you missed it, we didn't record it. We're not giving it out. You cannot get it. We won't even sell it to you. It's just you had to be, etc. So he comes down and he's there. Now watch this, because we talked about this on the weekend as well. He ignores, which is important to have joy, ignore the critics. Remember we talked about that? Remember how Paul was criticized and he had to ignore the critics and still in the middle of his jail experience found incredible joy? Here's the same parallel truth. Watch this. Same parallel truth. Because while he is receiving joyfully, there's another group of people that aren't joyful at all. Guess who they are? The religious, the rule keepers, the ones who are amazed that, first of all, Jesus would talk to Zach. Secondly, did Jesus just know his name? He didn't know my name. Grand Poobah, priest of the temple of the Alibaba temple of the shrine. I don't know where that came from right there. I do know where it came from. I just remembered. Okay. Yeah. Get your mind back here. He knew Zach's name, and he's going to Zach's house. So they're already like a little miffed at that, and they're complaining. But their complaining did not diminish Zach's joy, which is part. Do not let other people complaining diminish your joy. Here's what it says. When they saw it, the Pharisees, the priests that were around, they all, not just some of them, they all complained and said, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And somewhere, now this is not recorded. There is a conversation. Not everything Jesus said is recorded. Because there's a hard transition. There's actually a conversion that takes place between this verse and the next verse. While the Pharisees are complaining and Zach is experiencing great joy, there's a conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus that we don't know about. And we don't know what Jesus said. We do know that Zacchaeus was very greedy, right? And very selfish, because in this chapter, he reveals, I've been ripping people off for a long time. I have been prejudiced against the poor. I haven't helped the poor, and I've ripped people off. That's been my career. So we know he had greed. So maybe when Jesus did meet people that had greed, remember he met a religious, rich young ruler. Remember that story? Not too long ago, this study. Remember when he met greed? How do you overcome greed and materialism? Through generosity. Actually, generosity is the key to everything. Learn that truth. That'll blow you away. But it is certainly the key to overcoming greed. And when he met the rich young ruler, remember his message to the rich young ruler? Have you kept the commandments? Yes, I have. Okay, there's another thing you haven't done. Go. Sell it. Give it away. So maybe there was a conversation between Jesus and Zach like that. Zach, obviously you got some greed issues. You need to be transformed. Because while the Pharisees are complaining, Zach stands up and makes a transformational. Something has happened. He's gone from greed to generous. He's gone from 0 to 60 in one conversation. His whole world has changed because Jesus came to his house. And he stands up. Well, he had to stand up because he was short. Isn't that true, right? Zach stood up. And look what he says. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Why do you have to do that? Because, and we have to be careful, because he'd been prejudiced against the poor. And we have to be careful that we don't become prejudiced against the poor. The Proverbs tell us that some people are poor because they don't apply themselves to work. That can give us a prejudice towards the poor, that when we encounter poor people, we immediately slip into a default mode that says, if they worked harder, they wouldn't be poor. But that's not necessarily true. There are some people that are not as have does not have the intellectual powers that you have, nor the physical power that you have to work or to work effectively, and they literally are poor, watch this, through no fault of their own. Now, the problem is sorting them out. I don't think that really is the problem. When you give to the poor, Jesus loves it, right? Wasn't it one of the signs of his coming when we studied that in Matthew 25 not too long ago? Were you part of that study? Man, I've been preaching good lately. Such good stuff, man. Wasn't that, he said, listen, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was homeless, and you cared for me. Because when you take care of the poor, and I don't think it's our job to sort out how they got poor. I don't think it's our job. That's with God. I bet you if you give to poor people, you're going to get taken. And I don't like getting taken. But Zacchaeus was prejudiced against the poor. God confronts that. And now he cuts his net worth in half. So if you don't get over your prejudice towards the poor,
you got it. You are listening tonight. I like that. You're with it.
Maybe God will take half your net worth. See, Rod had that early. You had that early, yeah. That's what happened to Zach, half his net worth. And then, not only that, he says, I have ripped off some people. So I'm having a conversion experience. I'm going to give, if I've ripped off anybody by false accusation, it says, I'm going to give them four times. So if I took $100 for them, I'm going to give four times as much. Now the law required in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that if you rip someone off, then you would repay them 120%. So if I took advantage of you, if I defrauded you, and then I was coming clean, if I ripped you off of $100, then I would give you back 120. That was the law. But he goes way beyond that. I would say there's been a conversion experience here. He's totally different. And we don't even have I would love to have the conversation that Jesus had with him. I guess there wasn't enough time. Or Jesus didn't think it was important. I would love to know the conversation that radically transformed a man into giving half his stuff away and four times as much as he ever stole. But the Pharisees went, man, there has been a change in this guy. And Jesus says it. Today, salvation has come to this house. Well, for a couple of reasons. One is, because Jesus was in the house, and wherever Jesus is, he's the Savior, so salvation has come to this house. Did you know salvation was in this house right now? Yeah. Jesus is here right now. So salvation has come to this house. And then because of the transformation. Literally, salvation doesn't come from giving money away. You can't give away enough money to find salvation. But you do have to understand this. Salvation comes from generosity. And obviously Zacchaeus has figured that out. There's been enough understanding in his faith life to go, wow, I'm going to be generous. Just think about this. God loved you so much that he was generous enough to send his divine son into the planet. That was generous of him, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Now when you're going to receive Christ, when you're going to start following him, you actually access that salvation. You respond to God's generosity with a generosity on your part. Watch this. You give your life to him. That's what salvation is. So God is generous towards you. You say, I receive and I give you my life. And that, so generosity is right there. And then if the generous God of the universe, who loved you enough to send his divine son to save you, and you've given your life to him, then the natural response of people that are truly saved is generosity. It's just their natural state of being. And Zacchaeus is not working his way to salvation. Salvation comes by grace, through faith. Only way. We can't earn it or deserve it. But when we do have true faith, it works. It does. It loves. It gives. And so Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today because a son of Abraham, Zac is a son of, and he's saying that in front of all the Pharisees and all the priests are going, we are children of Abraham by birth. And Jesus is always pointing out, oh, really, you are children of Abraham by faith. This Zac has now put his faith in God and lined up with the one that is called the father of faith, and that's what really brings salvation. He is a child of Abraham. You don't, it's not just what family you were born in or that you happen to be born in America. You're not saved because you were born in America. You're saved when you put your faith in God through Jesus Christ. That's how salvation comes. Same way Zac got it, same way you get it. So this guy is a son of Abraham. And he may have also, well, no, I'm not going to say that. Okay. I just had a thought. I'm not going to say it. Verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was the mission of Jesus Christ? To seek and to save that which is lost. To stop on the road into Jericho for Bartimaeus and take some time with Bart. When he could have gone by, because people were just saying, hey, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. No, Jesus stops and he calls him. No, come to me. He gets to the other side. He goes, prompted by the Holy Spirit, goes out of his way. He says, I got to go to Europe. He's on his way to pay for the whole world. It's also amazing in Holy Week, remember this, that the guy that hung beside Jesus, he takes time out of dying to reach one more soul. That's the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is one more soul. Whether it's Bart, whether it's Zach, or whether it's Scott, or fill in the blank, your name. That is the heart of Jesus. And he reaches out to seek and to save that which was lost. Then we start this section. I'll just start into a little bit. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable to them. And watch this, because he was near Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and there were many people following him that said, hey, when Jesus gets to Jerusalem, he's taken over. The kingdom of God is coming because Messiah, the Christ, is going to Jerusalem, the center of power. He's going to seize power from the Romans, and he's going to establish the kingdom of God. And Jesus, for that reason, tells this story. He says, because I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and because many thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately, he tells them it's going to be like this. There's going to be a period of time where the king is away from you, and then he's going to come back. We talked about that recently, too. Right? The soon return of Jesus Christ. We talked about that. And he says, that's what the kingdom of God. I want to get you ready. I'm going to die. I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to go away, and I'm going to come again. And here's how it breaks down. Therefore, he tells this parable, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. Before he went, he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas, or some maybe say 10 pounds. It was a measurement of money. It was worth about 3 months of wages. And he said to them, occupy or do business until I come. Now, isn't this story very different than the one he told of the talents? Remember when Jesus gave talents out? He gave different numbers of talents, didn't he? He gave 5 talents out to one person, and he gave 2 talents out to another person, and he gave 1 talent out. These are all gathered together, and they're all given the same amount. Because I think it's emphasizing something different. I think all of us do have, I think we'd legitimately say, all of us have different abilities. I don't have the abilities that Mark Groover has. Nor can I get my hair cut that groovy either. I just can't get my jeans on. No, so he's different. That's right, so different talents. You don't have the talents I have. We all have different talents. But watch this. We have different abilities, but all of us are given the same opportunity. Okay, so I don't have the talents of Billy Graham, but pretty much I live 24 hours a day. Is that pretty much what you do? Do you get 24 hours? Anybody here get 28 hours? How many would like 28 hours? I would love 28 hours. I'd like 32 hours, really. That'd be awesome. But we get the same. Okay, everybody? 1,440 minutes. That's what you get today. Go. Same opportunity. Everybody gets the same. Everybody has the same Jesus. Everyone, the same, and the same ability to talk about Jesus. You may not do it from the same place because I have a calling to do it from here, and you may not have that calling or that ability. You may or you may not, but you do have an ability to share the same Jesus for all of us. And anybody can wind down their window and yell out. No, some of you that would scare the death out. It would be too much for you, I know, to do. So you do it. You throw a card. All of us have the same amount of time. All of us have the same gospel to share. And he gives it to all of us. And so Jesus says, okay, different abilities. Yeah, got that. Same opportunities. Everyone has the same amount of time. Everyone has the message of Jesus. And everyone is responsible for using both their abilities, whatever they are, and their opportunities. I like the verse in Ephesians that says, make the most of every opportunity. I love that verse. So he gives out to 10. He gives them 10 units of measure and says, hey, I want you to occupy or do business until I come. Some of the citizens hated him. Not all of them, but some of the citizens, and isn't that true today? Some people just don't follow Jesus. They hated him and sent a delegation after him to sort of tell him, you'll never be our king. So not only did they reject Jesus, they wanted him to know, hey, Jesus, we want you to know, you're not our king. Well, it doesn't matter. He's going to come back. He's going to be king. Whether he's your king or not is a matter of choice. But he's going to come back. But not everybody receives. Now he comes back, he returns, and having received his kingdom or having come back as king, commanded these servants who had been given the money to be called to him that he might know how every man had gained by trading. What did they do with what he had? The opportunities. What did you do with the opportunities to serve? I'll put it like that. The opportunities to serve that you had. And then the first one came in and said, Master, your mina is here, and I've got 10 more with me. And the master said, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful over very little, you have authority over 10 cities. Which is interesting. Because the reward for faithful service is more service. You see that? Yeah. Like, I was faithful. Okay, we're going to give you some more. So and this is a picture of what happens in heaven. So those of you that think in heaven you're on clouds with harps, that's not going on. That's not happening. We are ruling and reigning with Christ. What does that mean? It means we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Over what? Obviously, places, dominions, maybe planets, maybe Hawaii. Somebody's got to be over Hawaii. Someone's got to and Bradenton. Someone's got to be over Bradenton too. So, okay, you have 10. Okay, good. And this guy, this person used their opportunity. Same opportunities. And every year, though, some people just make the most out of more opportunity. They get more done. I want to learn how to be one of those people. The next one's going to do 5. Same amount of opportunity, he's going to produce 5. Same amount. Started out with the same amount. He's going to produce 5. I would like to get into the 10 area. Okay, so the second one comes and says, what verse was I at? 14? No, I'm way beyond that. I'm way down at, I think, 18. Yeah, 18, that's where I am. Thank you very much. The second one came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5. So he's given 10, he earned 5. And he says, okay, your reward, 5. You get 5. Verse 21. No. 20, yeah, say, okay, 20. 20 is very important. Okay, let me. Do I have time to do 20? Okay, this is important. The other came, and the Greek word for other, so here's what I think happened. It's not real clear because he says he calls in 10, and he gives 10. Now, we've had one report, at least it seems that one is reported. I was a super achiever. I made the most, I got 10. And another one has reported, and they got 5. And then the word for other can mean a group or a delegation. So I'm not really sure about this, but it could be that there were two top producers and a lot of wipeouts. Possibly, or maybe it was 3 of them did really well, and 3 of them did really not really bad, and 4 of them, I can't really tell. But the word other can be a group of people that have come in. The others come in and just say, Lord, here's the 10, you gave me 10, and here I'm giving it back to you. Here it is, take it away. And I feared, now watch this, watch how this group that didn't make the most of their opportunities, watch how they viewed the king and see if this sounds like the Lord. I feared you. Well, there's a good fear of God and a poor fear of God because you are austere. I think God is generous. And you collect where you don't deposit and you reap what you don't sow. And so the king says to him, okay, if that's how you view me out of your own mouth, if that's the faith you have, then I'm going to judge you as a wicked servant. Because you knew by your own recollection that you thought I was austere and I collected where I didn't deposit and I reaped where I didn't sow. Why didn't you just put some money in the bank? Why didn't you just do the minimum so that at my coming I might collect some interest? I think this group, this either individual or group of people had a poor view of the king. When I think of Jesus, I think of generous. I think of him sowing in places that nobody else would sow in. I think of him being generous towards people that would never, that's how I see Jesus. This person, I think, had a poor theology, a poor vision of God, and it caused them to be afraid of God, withdraw from God, and say, you're not my king. I think this is the group that said, you're not my king. I'm not going to use my life for you. I'm going to call you master, but you're not my master. When I call Jesus Lord, I want him to be Lord. When I call him master, I want to say, God, everything I have belongs to you. You are my master. It's all yours. I don't think this group did that. And he said to those who stood by here, those people that weren't faithful, take the minus from them and give them the one that has 10 minus, even though they said, Lord, he's already got 10. And Jesus says, well, when you're faithful with the opportunities you have, you'll be amazed how much they multiply. For I say to you, everyone that has will be given, and from him who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. So bring those, and then this last sentence, so bring those enemies of mine, the ones that rejected my kingship, to reign over me, and they're going to end up in death because that's what sin does. And what he says is, okay, when you are faithful with the opportunities you are, you'll be amazed at how much your life increases. Have you noticed how lucky people that work hard are? Say blessed, okay. Have you noticed how blessed people who work hard are? I think that's the principle. Now, we're not working our way to salvation. I don't think that. But certainly the way we use the opportunities of our lives increases the blessing of our life so that we can do what? Serve at a greater level. That's what he says. Okay. I don't want you to get to heaven and be bored. But we're going to be there a long time. And Jesus is teaching what you do here on the earth with what the opportunities I give you is going to have eternal rewards. So I'd like you to be over 10 cities and get the bonus cities as well. I'd like you to have those bonus opportunities. So I'd like you to, first of all, be top producers and then get a bonus on top of that. Praise be to the Lord. And that's what Jesus, so the king is coming. That's what he said. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to pay for your sins and your shame and your guilt. I'm going to return again. I'm going to put you in charge of life. Here it is. Here's your life. Here's your 1440, 1,440 minutes. You get it every day. That's what you get. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it tomorrow, I guess would be the question. And I would just say, use it wisely in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. So, Lord, a few things. First, help us to be sensitive to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit that says, pause on the roadside for a blind guy that everybody else is walking by. Help us to hear your voice, to go down this road, to be in this place, to walk across the restaurant, to walk across the room, to talk with somebody. Help us to stop under the right trees and look up and call people to have a relationship with you, Jesus, because you change lives. You change Zacchaeus' life. And we are praying, God, that especially in this Easter season, you will use us to see lives changed. Help us to invite boldly, bring people boldly, that they may encounter Jesus like Zacchaeus did. And he was changed from stingy to generous. He was changed from a man who was self-sufficient to a man who relied on God. And Lord, it's interesting that you tell the story of the minas after that, because Zacchaeus didn't lose one thing. He signed up for the bonus program. And Lord, we know you take care of your kids. And we thank you for that, and we praise you, and we bless you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, for leading and guiding us. And thank you for all the good things you're doing in Jesus' name. And we pray together, and everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Take care. Love you. Bye.